And so welcome everybody, and welcome to this day. It's just a lovely chance to spend the day together, to practice together, to explore these meditations around this theme of the path of joy. So this intention can be around for us as we practice today. And we form a kind of community today, again, which is a really lovely aspect of this. So sometimes you can feel that meditation practice is, you know, you're on your own doing it. Your eyes are closed. We'll be in silence. So you may think, well, I'm not interacting so much with other people. But we're really supporting each other as we come to practice on a day like this. And so we can really feel that connection with each other as we practice today. And just to give some of the kind of framework for the day that really informs these kind of times of practice that we spend together, one of the key things is a sense of an ethical sense. So this practice is certainly not kind of ethically neutral. It's not just being aware of the breath or being mindful so I can feel a little bit easier in my life, or I can get a little bit more happiness for me, or a little bit less difficulty for me. But already it's really informed and absolutely soaked with a sense of integrity, of a sense of non-violence, a sense of wanting to cultivate a simplicity, which means we can share, we're not competing with others. Again, when we touch into this natural sense of joy and peace that we can really realize in meditation, again, then a lot of the conflicts that can occur between people can really begin to soften, can begin to dissolve. And so, in many traditions, we have a sense right from the start of not just practicing for ourselves, but practicing for others, practicing for everyone. Practicing for all beings, so practicing for our friends, our colleagues, our neighbours, whoever's around. And we can see that working in a very, very practical way. I mean, I don't know if it's the same with you, but if I'm feeling a little bit kind of preoccupied or irritated, or there's an awful lot going on in my mind, and somebody says, I really need your help, it's just like, it's very difficult to be there, it's very difficult to be present. But if we cultivate that sense in ourselves of being with what's here, what's lovely, what's difficult, what's challenging, finding a steadiness of attention in our own experience, it's a real gift that we can begin to offer to others. Certainly through mindful listening, through our presence, through how we are with people. A sense of honesty that we can also practice with on a day like today. And really noticing, really connecting with what's really going on. What's really going on in our experience. I don't know if you've had that. Obviously it's a very common question that we all ask each other, isn't it? You know, how are you? And most of the time, of course, people just want, you know, it's just a kind of small talk, isn't it? And so we just kind of say, yeah, I'm okay. But sometimes, I don't know if you have this feeling too, but it's like, I don't really know. You really ask that properly. How are you really? And so being on a day like today is also a chance to connect very deeply with our own experience in a very honest way. What is really happening? What's really going on? And really opening to that, being with that too. So again, it's really helpful to feel that as we practice. So sometimes when we practice, particularly if those of us who are not so used to this, can think, oh well, it looks a little bit serious, or it looks a little bit unfriendly because everybody's kind of in their own zone like this. So to have a sense right from the start, this is for the liberation of all beings. This is for freedom. This is for peace. This is for joy. Why we practice in this way, and it always involves others. Always a sense of community and surround as we practice. And certainly that's. You know, very true for me, obviously, and I'm teaching today, I'm in this role as a teacher today, but that also means that I receive a lot. So by coming to practice together, you know, it's a mutual giving, it's a mutual generosity. And it's a real pleasure to be here, it's a real pleasure to teach. I find it so lovely. Yeah, those of you who led things in this way, you begin to feel, yeah, you're really, you get so much back from doing it. It's a real beauty of this kind of thing. So also, another of the frameworks today is that we will practice in silence. And silence is, in many ways, our real teacher on these kind of days. The learning that we're engaged in is very much an experiential learning. It's very much about seeing things in our own experience. It's one thing to know something abstractly, and it's a very different thing to really know it in your belly. And to be in silence, that's when we really see that. We really know that for ourselves. So these practices, in my understanding, in many ways, the intellectual side of them is not so difficult. It's not so difficult. We could say, you know, if we let go, we feel freedom. If we're generous, we can feel freedom. If we cultivate an inner stillness, an inner peace, then that enriches our lives. But it's one thing to know that. Yeah, that's true. But to really know. So that's one of the ways in which we practice in silence, because we can see how our own hearts and minds work. So this practice is very, it's like, in some ways, you can see it's quite almost experimental. You know, if you want to know what brings joy in life, if you want to know what relieves suffering, then you sit down and you observe your own heart and mind, and you see it. And again, those of us who practice a long time know that you see it and you think, yeah, I've got it. That's really great. And then we forget it. So we keep coming back to the breath. So we keep coming back to practice. And it's like a lot of reminders that we're working with. So silence too, as well as being our teacher, silence, if we can really feel that it's a noble silence, it's an ennobling silence. It's something that we're really choosing as an expression of a different way of being. Silence can be an invitation into what we may call the being mode, as opposed to the having mode or the doing mode. And so it's easy, isn't it, to get spun around by just the amount of things that we need to do, the amount of kind of balls in the air that we need to juggle, and you know, all our lives are very different if we're working, all the different demands of work, if we're studying, all the different deadlines we've got to meet, different expectations from our family, our friends, trying to keep it all going, our social life as well. It can feel kind of exhausting to kind of keep all of that happening. Or the mode of trying to have, to hold on to either to possessions or to experiences, to create a sense of who we are by possessing things. I remember some years ago I did quite a lot of travelling, and I was really fortunate to have the time and resources to do that. It was a very wonderful, very enriching part of my life. But I definitely saw how even when you're doing that, you can really get into this having mode, you know. This country and that country, and tick this off and tick that off, and you sort of relate to your own experience in that way. So the silence also is an invitation into what we might call this being mode, where we're not so concerned with getting it all done, we're not so concerned with having, possessing, and we can feel more and more how we can rest in this moment. Without having to engage with others through speech, which so often, I mean, again, can be a sense of, you know, I have to, am I okay in this conversation? Am I projecting the right image, projecting the right personality? And it's lovely just to be able to put that down and just rest. What's it like? Who am I when I'm not telling stories about who I am. That's a lovely question. Who am I? When those stories soften, quiet. And I hope too you really feel that the silence is a friendly silence. Again, I mentioned already the sense of community, but it isn't a silence of, you know, awkwardness. It's not a silence of unfriendliness. It's not a silence because we can't say what really needs to be said. It's not a silence of, you know, oppression. It's a silence of nobility, friendship, community, of learning. And also, with this theme of the path of joy, something else I wanted to touch upon right at the beginning, and I think it's really important with this, is that we know that life contains within it what's sometimes called the 10,000 joys and the 10,000 sorrows. So cultivating the path of joy, if that's to be real, has always got to include a sense of what's difficult, the struggle, the suffering, the difficulty in life. So the path of joy can't be a path of denial. Everything's lovely. There's no difficulty in the world. There's no struggle. There's no suffering. I'm fine. Just keep telling myself, everything's good, everything, look on the bright side of life. It can become quite frantic, actually, that kind of activity to be sort of relentlessly positive about things. And you can't keep it going, it's not sustainable. So the joy that we're talking about here is a joy that also acknowledges the other side of things, the difficulty, the struggle that can be around, but doesn't let that become the whole of our reality. So we can deliberately cultivate what's good, what's present, what's lovely, what's beautiful. To be open to that in a way that doesn't deny what's difficult. And so, also as we practice in this way, again there's a lovely balance that we can work with on a day like today. That there is a sense in these practices of cultivation, of bringing something into being, of inclining the mind towards joy, towards what's lovely, towards what's beautiful. But that this also isn't a demand. Again, it's a very helpful thing. If you practice meditation with a sense of demand, I'm sitting here, and right, that's it, now, what's my agenda? Peace, joy, stillness. You know, and then you sit there, and then you start kind of thinking about an argument that you had last week, or you start worrying about something, or you hear the sound of a siren, and you go, oh, that wasn't included in my piece. I didn't ask for that. Then meditation can get very frustrating. So a real principle with these practices too is opening to what's here, opening to what's here, whether it's the sound of the siren or the sound of the birds, whether it's a lovely memory that arises, or something more difficult. That we can be with the whole thing, and this is where the practice is so liberating. We can breathe with the whole thing, we can be with the whole thing. And again, so be open to joy within that. Yeah. So it's quite a subtle balance. Yes, we can be open to cultivating, but it's not a sense of, I should feel like this, or I'm doing it wrong if I feel differently. Yeah. So please, again, as we begin, you may feel all kinds of things in the course of today. You may feel very sad at times. You may feel full of anger or irritation at times. It doesn't mean you're doing the path of joy in the wrong way. Yeah. So it's a real practice as we're working with what is. We're breathing with what is. And then being open to cultivating a sense of joy. So through the day we'll practice some sitting meditation, some walking meditation, a little bit of mindful movement as well. And through all of those I just offer some of the qualities that really support and nurture a sense of joy. And I'll be touching on these as we go through the day, but the first is a sense of appreciation, of noticing what's here, noticing what's present. And again, this is some practice we can quite deliberately cultivate. What is here? What's present? What's lovely? What's okay? So we'll be working with that. A sense of generosity. Again, it's a lovely thing we discover in this practice as we practice with generosity, as we open our hearts. Then there's a sense of joy with that, a sense of openness with that, a sense of freedom with that. A sense of contentment, of resting, of not relentlessly looking for what's better, what's different, what's more, what's extra, what's next. But contentment can begin to rest. Some qualities of what is called rapture or pity in the Buddhist tradition that can also sometimes arise in meditation. So as the mind becomes more still, there can be this kind of bubbling of energy. Sometimes we can feel it in the body, a sense of energy or joy, lightness that can be around. So a real quality that can deepen in meditation. So one of the ways we can do that is when that's around to notice it, to recognize it, to let the attention rest there. And that can begin to grow and develop. And finally, loving kindness. Loving kindness too is one of the qualities we'll touch on today that really supports a sense of joy. So, just to inspire us at the beginning, just mention some of the benefits of practicing with kindness, some of the benefits of practicing in this way that can really give us some motivation as we begin our practice today. I love these 11 benefits of the Buddha. We don't really associate the Buddha with advertising, and I don't want to claim this is a kind of advertising that may be sort of limiting it a bit, but to me in quite a nice way it's like this. These are the benefits that you can get from the practice. He says, you will sleep easily, you will wake easily, you will have pleasant dreams, people will love you, devas, celestial beings and animals will love you, devas will protect you, external dangers, poisons, weapons and fire will not harm you. Your face will be radiant, your mind will be serene. You will die unconfused, and you will be reborn in happy realms. So these are the benefits of practicing with kindness, practicing with joy, practicing a sense of openness of heart.